The war between the states raged mercilessly. Antietam, Vicksburg, Gettysburg, Chickamauga. Sons, fathers, and brothers from Mississippi to Maine had not come home for Christmas, and many would never return. Poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow sat in Cambridge, Massachusetts, pondering the state of the world around him. Longfellow had been widowed for 2 years since his wife's dress tragically caught fire, and his son, Charles, was now seriously wounded, having been injured on December 1st by a Confederate bullet at the Battle of New Hope Church. As he sat nursing his son on the long road to recovery, listening to the church bells pealing forth Christmas tidings, he struggled with the message of the angels proclaiming, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men." And he took up his pen and wrote.
Donna, I'd like you to come down here and just tell how that affected you, because Donna's the reason that I played this thing. I didn't even know the history behind it, really. I don't know if you could hear all the lyrics. It said at one point, it said, "There is no peace on earth," I said.
Honestly, I had never heard the song in its entirety till this year, but I don't even remember how I came across it. But, you know, there's a lot of sadness at Christmas time. There's a lot of sadness all the time. But I think we've seen a lot of sadness. We don't personally in our life. Our family's doing pretty good right now. But it affects you, you know, and it grieves me when people are hurting right now. There's so many in the hospital just facing serious illness and things like that. And somehow I came across that song, and it's like nothing's changed, you know, except nothing's changed. The Lord didn't come to give us peace on the earth as far as the wars and things like that. He came to give us peace in our hearts by being reconciled to God. And when we're reconciled to God, it's like, Jamie, you were saying, you're still going through a lot of struggles in life, but everything has changed this year. Because you have peace on earth in your heart with the Lord. And I don't know, that just saw that those words and then the history behind that just has really affected me this year. And I pray for greater compassion, you know, that I'll have greater compassion on those that are hurting. And so that's pretty much how that all transpired. I don't know. I feel like there's people in this room, as small as we are this morning, that are hurting. And I just want to proclaim the good news. It is good news. We have the good news at Easter, of course, of the death and the resurrection. But this season is no less miraculous. I mean, a virgin birth, there's no way that we could have had this peace on the earth, though, had he not come from the virgin birth to give us a supernatural life. We have the promise of a supernatural life while we're living now. And we live far too far below it. Below that life that he came to give us. We live so subpar. So I just proclaim good news this morning. We have a risen Savior, but we have a miraculous birth of a baby that came and did everything, was tempted in every way we are, but he didn't sin. And so if he is in you this morning, you can be an overcomer too. And through the trials are going to come. He said they would. And so we shouldn't really be being too surprised. We just know that we have we serve the winner. We serve the winner, and we don't have to take things as they at face value anymore. We take them at God value, what his word proclaims about that situation. It's a contending. There is a war going on, but it's a war in the spirit that we would live victoriously in the midst of things around us. So, there.
Praise the Lord. Those lights on, would you? I say this every week, but I mean it this week. I'm going to be very brief. No, we're going to take communion after this because I want to make sure you're ready for communion. Lord, not those.
The light.
Lord Jesus, we praise you. I want y'all to pray this prayer. This don't sound like a Christmas morning prayer, but pray this prayer out loud, okay? With your eyes closed, your head bowed. And say it whether you mean it or even can wrap your head around what it says. But say, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. And I wanted to talk about, that's interesting you brought that up this morning, because I wanted to talk about peace on earth for just a few minutes, because like Donna said, most people live far below peace on earth, don't they? Most people live in turmoil, rush, schedule of the world. I mean, you're pressed all the time, and it seems like it's getting more pressed all the time. And the Bible says in the last days, things will get faster, things will get crazier. I mean, it should be no surprise, but we don't have to live in that. But Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born." How long was this written before Jesus was born? 1,000 years? Long time. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. His kingdom is forever, right? John 14 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I give you peace, not like the world does. I give you peace, everlasting peace. I give you peace you can't write on a piece of paper. I give you peace you can't make a treaty with. You surrender and God's peace comes. True? And like you said, sis, you fall sometimes, but you get back up. You lose peace, but you can have it back, okay? It's not that God takes it away. As we allow our own thoughts, our own actions, we allow ourselves to be brought into turmoil and warfare, right? So, this seems what they call it. What do they call something that seems to contradict itself? An oxymoron? Moron. This seems to contradict what was just said about Jesus and what he just promised, but not really. It says, this is Jesus speaking, important stuff. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? Question mark. He said, I tell you, not at all, but rather division. From now on, 5 in 1 house will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. Father will be divided against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. What's he talking about? He's talking about, Mary, when you came to Jesus, guess what? The whole world didn't applaud. The whole world didn't jump up and down and applaud. My family liked me just the way I was. Vile, the first one, no, everybody in my family was kind of, I'm not bad mouthing my family, but there was no wine, there was no whiskey, there was no beer at Christmas. It was a family gathering, which I commend them for that. But when I got out on my own and got wild, I started bringing the Boone's Farm out to the family get-togethers, and guess what? They drank it. And that's okay, but I'm just saying they liked me better, because when I came to Jesus, I got paper and pen, and I wrote letters to all my family members, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, and I said, you need Jesus. It wasn't condemning. It was, you need Jesus. You need to find what I found. And they thought, the next time I saw them at Christmas, I thought, whoa, did some kind of stranger, did an axe murderer just walk into the room? Really, it was like, whoa, they kind of kept their distance from me. Why? Because it brought division. So, and please, I'm not, and God's changed that. There's been some people come to the Lord since then, so it's been a good thing. Jesus always wins, but there's going to be a battle. Steve Hill at the Brownsville Revival says, do not expect peace when you declare war. When you declare war on the enemy, when you declare war on sin, when you declare, I'm not living like that no more, there's going to be war. The enemy's not just going to sit there and go, well, praise God, there's another one in the kingdom. Let's go somewhere else. No. He don't want you to fulfill your destiny. This don't sound too Christmassy. I'm sorry. There's another one. I'm not even going to read it all, but I'm going to remind you that Jesus was the Prince of Peace. Jesus was the very embodiment of peace, was he not? And there's examples all through the Bible. Well, one of my favorite ones is, it says he was in the, was it the bow or the stern or the, what's some part of this boat? He was in a fishing boat with the disciples, and they were going across the land to preach the gospel. And this storm came up out of nowhere. Some storms can come from God, but some storms are demonic. And this demonic storm came in, and water's pouring into the ship, and Peter and them seasoned fishermen are going, "We're going to die. We're in a tsunami. We're in a hurricane. We're in something horrible." And they got very afraid, and Jesus was dead asleep in the front of, or in the bottom. I don't know where he was at, but he was dead asleep. And they had to wake him up and say, "Master, don't you care that we're perishing?" He's like, "Why'd you wake me up?" So he said, he put his hand up and he said, "Peace, be still." And the storm went. It just stopped. I think he was rebuking them because they had the same, they could do the same thing because they were representatives of Jesus. So he said, "You got to rebuke the storm." And guess what? The storm cometh. Every one of y'all going to have storms. Maybe today, but sometime this year, if you live through this year, you're going to have storms in your life. You have the power to rebuke them. You have the ability to speak peace on things when there's, you have the ability. You can grump and gripe and say, "Oh, poor me." You can do all that and it won't get you no peace at all. But when you proclaim, "Peace, be still." Woo! Yeah, it comes. Like a freight train. Peace. Say, "Peace, good." Peace, good. This peace, demonic. Peace, good. Peace. And I grew up in the 60s. Peace. Peace, man. Peace. Peace. How do you get your peace? Oh, lots of pot and LSD and other drugs. Peace, peace, peace. But look at what we're reaping now. Is there peace when you're sticking a needle in your arm and you can't survive without drugs? No, that's not peace. That's not peace at all. But what I was going to say is when he rebuked the storm, guess where they landed? I think the name of it was Gadarene. Soon as they landed, this demon-possessed man comes out of the graveyard. "Jesus, what have we to do with you, Jesus? Are we going to be tormented before the time?" This guy was so demon-possessed, it said he broke chains. He cut himself with glass and rocks and said nobody could keep him bound. Nobody. And Jesus spoke to them demons and said, "Go." And they said, "Please, please, can we go into that herd of pigs over there?" "Okay, go." Went into the herd of pigs, and the pigs went, drowned in the ocean. So that storm was designed to keep Jesus and them from getting over there to set this man free. And it said after that happened, said he was running around naked too, by the way. Said after that happened, it said they found him. The people of the town found him clothed in his right mind. And you know what they said? They got afraid and they said, "Jesus, get out of here, man. We can't handle this kind of power." So peace cometh, praise God. So how do you receive peace? Receive Jesus. Amen. Receive Jesus. It's just as simple as that. Or complicated as that. It's not, the gospel's not complicated. Sometimes it's kind of hard to put down your own life and surrender, though, isn't it? But boy, when you do, Jamie, is it worth it? Was it worth laying your life down? Not only now, but in eternity, right? Let me read you one verse, and we're going to take communion and celebrate what he did for us. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. What's fruit? What's an apple tree make? Apples. What's a peach tree make? Tomatoes? Peaches? So a good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. You will know them by their fruits. So, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So he did come as the Prince of Peace. He came to give peace to all those that are in turmoil. He came to give life to the dead. He came to give healing to the sick. He came to raise the dead. He came to set the captives free. He came to deliver dope addicts. He came to deliver people that are into sexual perversion. He came to give life and life abundantly. He didn't come to play around. He came to cast those devils out. But you got to come into agreement with who he is and what he did. And you got to know that he loves you. Even if your family's rejected you, if school's rejected you, if people have rejected you, you got to know that Jesus never rejected you, man. He embraces you this morning. So everybody stand up. Here's an example of life. I think there was 8 or 10 of these. If you want to see them, they're all outside the kitchen door because they are shedding and dead, dead, dead. But one of them made it. So praise God. He came to give life and life more abundantly. But right now, in Jesus' name, do you know him? Do you know? You can't have this peace unless you know him. Do you know him? Does he live in you? Do you wake up in the morning with Jesus on your mind? Do you go through the days trying to think of things that please him? Will you go to bed tonight saying, thank you, Jesus? If you don't, you either don't know him or you're backslidden. Okay? So if you need Jesus to wash you and forgive you and give you that new life and give you the fruits of the Spirit, if you need that this morning, come up and bow. Just kneel at this altar and talk to him about it and take your communion with a clean, clear heart, okay? So if that's you, come on right now, and everybody else, come on up here right now, and let's take communion together. Praise the Lord. You're welcome. Anybody's welcome to take communion, by the way. If you're born again and you have Jesus living in you, please, what a way to celebrate Christmas, huh? I'll tell you what I'm going to do, by golly. Lead us in communion, brother. I'm going to pass out the elements. Is that what they're called?
Nice necklace. Huh? Nice necklace.
Are you ready, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Everybody, sir.
Right. Praise God. I like the Christmas story because in it, Gabriel tells Joseph and Mary, you will name him Jesus, for he will forgive the people of their sins.
Yes.
And then not too far from that, he says, and you will call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And to be an overcomer and to have that lasting peace isn't dependent upon material possession or position in this world. It has to do with our focus and maturing in Christ, being what we come seasoned. Jesus was teaching his disciples a lesson in the boat, that through it all, you can still have peace inside. And I will give an example. A couple of springs ago, there was a funnel cloud forming not far from our neighborhood. And I went outside, and my neighbor Glenn said, look, it's going to hit our neighborhood. I said, watch this, Glenn. As I said, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke you. You cannot come and cause harm. And it dissipated. Right before his eyes, it dissipated. So now Glenn and his wife Jeanette are going to church in Cordon. Hallelujah. I know. Praise God. So when we come to communion, I mean, we're remembering. It wasn't the Last Supper. Maybe on earth it was their Last Supper together. But in heaven, we're going to be invited to a banquet. And Christ is going to serve us again. So he was saying essentially to his disciples, sometimes we as disciples are a little dull of understanding. I mean, I had to admit it. A little slow to catch on, you know. But he was saying, look, this is the beginning. You're going to do this in remembrance of me because there's going to be times when you need to remember me. There are going to be times when you need to call on me. And I will be there. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I'm on the right hand of my Father in heaven making intercession every day for our success. And we have authority through Jesus. Some time ago, Pastor spoke about somebody who's asleep. You get tormented in your sleep. Well, that's been me. And I don't know who it is. And I don't know why it has access to the room. It's not demonic. It's a human spirit. If somebody is in witchcraft and they can leave their body and travel. I don't want to get into all that. But anyway, they can travel in the spirit realm and they can just aggravate you. But every night when it starts, the mattress will start moving. Their bed will get jarred, and I'll just say in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I rebuke you and your demons, and I'm pronouncing you're going to get saved and you're going to get out of this lifestyle. And then it stops. It stops. And I know Julia out in the living room sometimes, she probably is like, what's he talking about back there? So as you take this bread, this cracker represents Jesus' body. Remember that he laid his body down willingly and voluntarily in obedience for all of us to forgive us of our sins. So take and eat. And then Christ willingly endured the garden, endured the scourging. In the garden, he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But the cup didn't pass. So then he got up, and then he went and he endured what he had to endure on the cross to the tomb to be resurrected again. But he said to his disciples before all that happened, he lifted up the cup and he said, take and drink, for this is for the remission of sins. This is my blood for the remission of sins. Take and drink. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you for your birth and for your resurrection, that you are alive, you're on the right hand of the throne of God, and we're on the verge of seeing miraculous things for a few years now. And so we want to thank you and praise you for the miracles and for the salvations and for all the people that are about getting ready. They don't know a wave of the Spirit's going to hit them, and they're going to be miraculously delivered from all sorts of things, and they're going to have that peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, praise the Lord. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, man, I can't think of a better day. You'd never lose track of when you got born again. I got born again on Christmas Day. Wouldn't that be awesome? Does anybody you want to know Jesus and you don't know him? Just be bold and receive. I will ask this. This is kind of carnal, but was anybody's birthday today? Mary Cameron Craddock. Sorry, I am buh. Sorry, brother. Well, we need to sing happy birthday to you. We'll do it again, and we'll sing to Jesus, too. Happy birthday to you. How about happy birthday to Jesus? Can we say, would that be, I think that's okay, don't you? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Lord Jesus. Happy birthday to you. Hey, y'all, greet each other with, I don't want to say with a holy kiss, because I had somebody, I said that one time, they started going around kissing people, and people didn't like it. So, but greet each other with, no, serious. Not everybody likes that holy kiss, but just wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And if you need, listen now, before we get too far gone, if anybody needs prayer for anything, please come up here and let's pray for you. If you're sick or spiritually sick, or your soul's needs restoring, or what'd you say deliverance for? That baby's just tired. She probably ain't got no rest in the last 2 days. So if you need prayer, please come up and get prayer.